There we are. We are finally live today. I'm Sue Clement, and we're talking all about one of my favorite topics, and that is how to position your business to more easily get better leads. And there's two adjectives, or I think that's, if I remember my grammar in that statement, that really matter is easily, because there's lots of leads out there we can get, but we want to get them easily, and we want better quality leads. So I'm going to target that today. It's kind of a twist in the sense of really fine-tuning our lead gen. And, you know, the problem is that to grow your business, you know, you want more revenue, you want more sales, you want more clients, and to make more clients or get more clients, you ultimately need to have more leads. You know, if we kind of reverse engineer backwards, and I do that a lot with when I work with people, is they have a dollar value that they want to create. And then from that dollar value, it's like, well, how many clients do you need? And then from there, how many leads do you need? So it all kind of starts with the leads. How many leads do you need? But not only just numbers, but actually quality leads. And that's the, one of the biggest challenges is that people, when they want to grow their business, they don't know where to get leads. They don't know where to get the right leads or the quality leads. You know, and I've had that aha myself, where I'm like going, oh my God, I'm just talking to too many of the wrong people. And maybe you've had that too. And so if you're in the right place, if you've kind of thought of that one time or another, or you just want to know how to fine-tune and upgrade your leads. And you're going to find the points that I'm going to share today. We're going to start off with a short training, and I'm going to share some ideas for you. They're probably not what you expect, so hang in there, all right? And, you know, when we get those better quality leads, we can truly, you know, leapfrog or jumpstart or accelerate the path to our success. And so, you know, when we get moving things faster, then we, you know, success brings success. I always find that. So it's like getting that momentum and getting going. And the great thing is when you have quality leads and you're getting them fast enough, you really can truly leverage your business and grow it quicker. So that's what we're all about today, is how to position your biz to get more easily get better quality leads. So if you're joining us on the phone, which maybe I encourage some people to do that, I'm kind of like, not another Zoom call, please. We don't have to do our hair. We don't have to dress up. And actually, you can go take your phone and go sit outside. You can dial in on the phone if you want to, kind of old school there. And if you are on the phone lines, thank you. Press star 2 if you have any questions. And that way I'll be able to see you on my dashboard and be able to answer, you know, control a Q&A. We'll be doing a live Q&A and on-the-spot coaching at the end of the call. And so that's star 2. And if you're on the webcast, great. That works really cool, too. There's two buttons there. One says chat, and one says, what's the other one say? I'm looking at two different screens, and one says Q&A. And so if you're on the chat, please say hello. Tell us where you're from. I've got my trusty assistant, Megan. Megan, say hello. She's probably on
mute. Hi, everyone.
I do that every time. I go, say hello, and she's like, where's that mute button to come off of? Anyways, Megan's going to help moderate the chat and the Q&A for me today, so I don't have too many screens to be looking at, otherwise I go crazy. But if you are on the chat, say hello. I'm glad that you're here. And, you know, post your questions in the Q&A. We'll get them in sequence, and we'll dive into them, and you can get on the hot seat if you choose to have a dialogue with me, or if you just want to post a question incognito, you can do that too. Post a question, and I'll be more than pleased to answer it in a wee bit time. So welcome for thank you for joining us today. So, you know, once again, it's all about how to get more leads and how to accelerate our business. And that's really what I'm passionate about. I'm a business acceleration expert. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm Sue Clement. If you're just joining in now, thank you for dialing in or clicking in. And I'm all about helping entrepreneurs think and grow like a seven-figure CEO. And why is that important? Well, I think often when we start a business, we're just happy to get a business going. A lot of people are, and they're solopreneurs, and we are the business, and we do the work of the business, and we do the work of getting business, and we often can kind of fall in that entrepreneurial trap of small thinking. And I'm really about helping people expand their thinking so that they can grow bigger companies and bigger businesses. And so, you know, whether you're targeting that first 100K or whether you want to hit, you know, 250 or 500 or whether you're really going for that $1 million-plus business, it doesn't really matter what everyone else is doing. It matters what you're doing. And, you know, it's really about how to get through those growth pains easier and faster so that you can have the lifestyle, the business that you choose, and be able to impact the world in the way that you want to. And that's really, what, to me, what business is all about, is being able to, you know, make an impact and also have the lifestyle that you choose. And to get there, business should not be a struggle. I want to take the struggle out of business because, you know, we don't get into business to struggle. We don't get into business to have a hell of a horrible, shitty life. We're really here about making money and making a difference. So that's really what I'm passionate about. And what gives me the right to do that is, this is not my first business. I've been coaching for 20 years. My God, I feel old when I say that. But in the last 20 years, I've helped literally thousands of small business owners grow bigger companies. And, you know, from all sorts of different industries, probably about 170 different industries, from brick and mortar, B2B, B2C, you know, professionals, health and wellness people, real estate people, you know, a lavender farm, trucking company, restaurant. I've kind of been inside of a lot of businesses. And I think that that gives me the ability to help other business owners pick up different ideas that help them. And prior to that, I grew an employment agency from startup to $5.2 million and then sold a company. And in that time, I kind of went through the trenches, struggled greatly, and, you know, I know what it's like to be on both sides of the coin of starting and struggling to actually having the success and having a big team and growing a successful, profitable business that made a difference in the world. So that's a little bit about me. So let's dive in and start talking about my strategies that I want to share with you today on how to position your business to more easily get better quality leads. And, you know, when we think about leads, one of the most important thing to get leads is your ability to stand out. It is your greatest asset. Now, I think you might be thinking, wait a minute, Sue, I thought we were going to talk about tactics. And I'm not choosing to talk about tactics today. I'm really going behind the screen, behind the drape, I guess, to think about what can you do to get more leads. And these strategies or shifts are going to help you regardless of what tactic you choose to. So the important thing to get leads is your ability to stand out. It's your ability not to look alike or get lost in the crowd with all your competitors. You really want to have an edge. And, you know, the marketplace is crowded, it's busy, it's out there, and they're looking at all sorts of options. There's probably hundreds, dozens of people who do exactly what you do. And so your ability to look different from the rest will help your attraction-based marketing. You know, it's really your ability to gain that visibility, and that will impact your success and accelerate your success. You know, it's so critical that you capture attention and not only be distinguishable from, you know, your competition, but to actually stand apart and elevate yourself from them. And so that's what I'm sharing with you today, is five ways you can do that. You know, and the upside is when you truly position yourself outside or different or have that visibility, what happens then, and this is what the part I love the best, is people start seeking you out. Right? This is where the attraction-based marketing begins to really heat up for you, because you're more easily found. And also, the tactics I'm going to be sharing with you are actually going to help you create a more loyal following. You know, there's nothing greater than to have your following, your tribe, your community of people that are loyal and dedicated to you. You know, and when you start to attract that loyalty and that community, what happens to is you tend to attract better fitting. You know, this is where we've got to the part of having better quality leads. You begin to attract better quality leads. So let's jump in. And, you know, if you're in the chat, start putting your questions in. If you're on the phone, you can press star 2 to ask those questions. And, you know, let's dive in right now. I'm going to flip back to my screen here. So number one is, if you want to attract better quality leads faster, is number one to be more authentic. Now, this is an interesting thing for me. You know, having been in business for as long as I have, the world has certainly changed. Social media has opened the door to authenticity in just a very impactful way. You know, in the past, the focus was always on the client. It was always on, you know, your products or services that you were selling. And, you know, as the individual, I was almost kind of felt invisible. It wasn't about me. It was about what they were buying and how it would impact them. And, you know, it was really different. And now I think today's world is that you know, we are the brand. That's the interesting thing that shifted is, you know, often we are the brand or we are the face of the business, the face of the company. And people want to know more about you. They don't want to just know your credentials, but they actually need to know who you are and have a sense of what you stand for and what you're all about. You know, by being more authentic in the marketplace, by really showcasing a bit of your lifestyle. Now, on Facebook, LinkedIn, social media, Instagram, I mean, the list goes on, whatever social platform you choose to go on. And, of course, when we pick our platform, a little side note here, is we want to make sure that we pick a platform that is in alignment with where our clients show up, right? So if your clients are, you know, on Facebook, then you need to be on Facebook. But if they're on LinkedIn and they're corporations, you should be on LinkedIn too. So pick the social media platform that you want. But wherever you are, you need to show up and be relatable. People need to know who you are. People buy from who they know, like, and trust. And social media is a fabulous way to get people to know you and trust you and also ultimately like you. So you need to be more relatable to your prospects, and that will help you get more leads because people buy from who they like. They buy from people who resonate. You know, I talk about building affiliation. You know, you go to a networking event and you start talking to someone. Well, if you talk to 10 people, the people you kind of feel the warmest about are the people who have something in common with you. Maybe they have the same value that you do or the same point of view or perspective. Maybe they grew up in the same city or town that you did. When we connect with people at that level, we tend to kind of feel warmer towards them. So in your marketing, it's like show who you are. Don't worry about being prim and proper when you send out your email marketing if you're not a prim and proper person. Because what happens is when you present this nice face image to the world, but then when people start working with you, there's a disconnect because you aren't what you sound like. You don't show up the way you show up when you send out an email or when you do your Facebook posting or when you do a presentation. So being that person, that personality in business is really key. So being more authentic will help you grow your business faster. And I'm just going to pause here and get a sip of water. If any comments in the chat, I'd love to see them. Just pop over there and see if anyone's got any, if this is resonating for you. Say hell yes if you want to be more authentic. And, you know, if you're listening in live during the replay, I didn't mention the replay people. Thank you for coming later. But if you're listening in, regardless, live or replay, is begin to think about how can you show up more authentically. Have you been hiding out? Have you been thinking, oh, I can't talk about this topic? I can't share that I have kids, or I don't want to share that I go to church, or I don't want to share that I, you know, drive a yellow Corvette, which I do share. But, you know, we often think we don't want to share our hobbies. We don't want to share our lifestyle. Well, you know, think about ways that you can start to be more authentic and how you can show up there, and I bet you'll find that people will resonate with you. It's kind of crazy. When I put a Facebook post, I just did a painting, my first, you know, acrylic painting, and I posted it. I think, I don't know, I got over 100 people commenting on it. People want to know that. They want to know who you are. Okay, so that's point number one. Number two, and this is great, a quote from one of my mastermind buddies, Ron Reich, be more awesome. Be more awesome. Show more of your awesomeness. And this is taking the authenticity a little bit deeper in the sense that, you know, you can't be demure and sit on the sidelines and hope to be noticed anymore. And I often refer to myself as a humble Canadian, and I'm kind of making lovingly fun about that, is that, you know, maybe it's not in your wheelhouse to kind of beat your chest and say, I'm amazing. But actually, you don't have to beat your chest to be amazing or to share that you're amazing. You just need to stand up, step out, and share your awesomeness and own it and showcase it. You know, we have to own it, believe it, and then we'll see it. Well, you know, we also need to share it. So start sharing your awesomeness. If you've won an award or were presented with something, if you succeeded in something, share those in your email marketing, share those in your marketing messages, share those in your conversations with prospects, in sales conversations. Share that. Bring your wealth of who you are to the table And that will help people buy from you faster, and it will also help leads come to you faster. You'll be able to track them better. So be more awesome is number two. Thanks to Ron for that one. Number three is, this is kind of the opposite in a way, it's be more polarizing. You cannot be bland vanilla, okay? I hope you're really getting my message here. You can't be bland. We all have personalities. We all have points of view. And when we start letting that personality out, and when we start embracing and sharing our unique points of view, you know, as they say, let the chips fall where they may, we have to be willing to stand for something and state it. State your opinion, the ones that really matter to you. What are your values? What are your key values, opinions, perspectives that matter to you? And then share those. Now, the only caveat I'd put on this one is probably best to leave things like politics and religion off to the side a wee bit, okay? Probably best to kind of leave those ones alone. But generally speaking, you know, in business is start, you know, polarizing your marketplace. You know, a lot of people go, well, if I do that, if I polarize, if I make comments that could offend some, then those people won't like me. And I'm going, yes, we don't want everyone to like us. We don't need everyone to like us. You know, this is the key piece of this, is when we're more polarizing, what happens is we have the opportunity to you know, get people to either really like us or not like us. And when we repel people, that's great. They're not for you. You know, the more people you can kind of repel, the more people you're, what's the opposite of repelling? I guess it's not impelling. That sounds terrible, like sticking with a stake. Sorry, bad joke. But the more people you repel, the more people you'll attract. That's the better word. Because when you start repelling the people who don't fit with you, who don't have your values, who don't have your perspectives, who don't like the things you like or believe the things you like, or, you know, the ones you can repel from your messages, what's really cool is instead what's happening is you're attracting the people who like that. Like my point that I made on number one was that, you know, people, when they have something in common with you, they're more likely to like you better. They feel more comfortable with you. They have something to share. They feel that they're in alignment with you. And that's one of the cool things with this, is when we're polarizing, we have the ability to repel people from us, but actually we also have the ability to help people draw closer to us. And so be more polarizing. Think right now. You know, let's get you working a little bit. You know, what do you stand for that you haven't shared with your marketplace, that you could share, that would help people feel more closer to you, more compelling to be with you? So remember, if you stand for nothing, you'll never be known for anything. And if you want to be known, then it's time to be more polarizing. Let's move on to number four. And I'll just pause here. Megan, is there anything in the chat that I should know about? I'm not looking at that screen.
Oh, well, Denise was agreeing with you. Sorry, I had to unmute again. Denise was agreeing with you that it's easier to find your market once you know the platform they hang out in. And I just put a comment in there about, like, I totally agree with that religious piece of religion and politics, except in a few cases. I know a lady who is flat out, she calls herself a Christian coach and counselor. So because it's so integral to her brand, in that case,
definitely. And actually, you know, it's interesting because I was last fall, I was in a first time ever. I heard, you know, someone really make the platform that they're a Christian coach. I get that there. Definitely. Thanks for that autocorrect there. Yeah. But yes, definitely. If you're a Christian coach, definitely put that. That's your flagship. That's your polarizing message, actually. But in the sense of posting, just don't slander different, you know. It's like I'm thinking about all those horrible Trump posts. I shouldn't even go there. My brain's going to go down that funnel, and that'd be really bad for me. But, yeah, keeping away from that type of posting. All right, good. Thanks, Megan. All right, let's move on to point number four, and that is to be consistent. Be way, way more consistent. You know, there we have, I think the world has an attention, you know, a attention span of a gnat these days. There is just so much volume coming at people all the time. And if you're not consistent, you're wasting your time. You know, you have to be consistent. You have to show up consistently. How you show up needs to be consistent. And then your frequency needs to be consistent. So there's two pieces to that consistent. So the first piece is your branding. You know, you need to be on brand consistently with the market. So you want to, you know, have your messaging, have your perspective, have your point of view, and you want to be consistent with that so that you're not kind of, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, switching your personality every week because people won't know who you are. So that consistency of who you are is part of it. But then you also have to show up more consistently. You know, one and done doesn't cut it. You have to really consistently market yourself. And so whether it's like an email, I often have clients say, well, I'll send a newsletter out. And they send one out randomly. I go, how frequently? Well, you know, whenever I have time, whenever I feel like it, whenever the message moves me. And the thing is, when you send that sporadic, odd email out, people get it and they think, who's this from? They don't remember you. But on the flip side, if you send them an email every Thursday, they'll know it's from you. They'll know who you are. They get to know what you talk about because you're sending them content every week. I mean, content marketing is really the key place of how you get leads, and whether you're content marketing on Facebook or through email marketing or through blogging or through podcasting, it's all content, guys. And it's just a matter about getting it out there, getting your messaging out there. So I'm not just talking about social media marketing. I'm actually talking about any of your marketing, is that you have to be really consistent. So you can't just do a podcast now and again or a blog now and again or an article now and again or a Facebook post now and again. You kind of get the drift there. You can't show up at a networking event now and again. You know, not that we can't show up at networking events in these worlds, but even online networking. So you have to pick your channels and then show up consistently. And this is one of a kind of a side thought here, is it's not about having more, you know, more different ways of marketing. It's really narrowing it down. So you pick a couple places that you want to show up and then go deep. I talked about this last week a little bit about having more saturation. You want to saturate where you're at. So be more consistent. Saturate your marketplace however way you choose to do it. Whatever marketing tactic or strategy you choose to use, you need to do it, show up regularly. Because if you don't show up regularly, you will be forgotten. When you do show up, people go, who the hell is this? And you really won't build that tribe or community, which is what we want to talk about. When we add, you know, when we consistently do our marketing, we build our tribe, we build our community. People get to know us better, and therefore, they'll buy from us, okay? So that's number four, be consistent. And number five, now I'm going to go back to the humble Canadian one on this one. Number five is to get others to talk about you. Get others to talk about you. You know, it's kind of like the influencer marketing, which is such a buzz these days. But it's not just about getting famous people. It's actually you need to showcase your clients' successes, and you need to get your clients to showcase their successes. And when you start showcasing both your client's successes and your successes and they showcase their successes, what really happens is this is the multiplier effect. And it, you know, people love it when they see, you know, how you made money for somebody else. I mean, that's the best endorsement. And it goes beyond just doing like a testimony or a case study. It really is about showing up that way so you have raving fans and you get them to rave and you get them to, you know, showcase you, and you need them to be generous, but you also need to be generous about them and showcase their successes. And so when you start getting other people talking about you, that's another great way to get leads, because that's the trust factor. That's like, oh, that person's known, that person's liked, and oh, those people trust them, I should too. And so getting other people to talk about you and talking about yourself even is part of getting better quality leads. So that's our 5 points. And remember, you know, in today's marketplace, as I said, the attention span of a gnat, we have to be able to consistently show up. And when you do these 5 items, let me just go back and run through them. Be more authentic, be more awesome, be polarizing, be consistent both in your how consistency of how often, but also consistent in your messaging. And then getting other people to talk about you. What's really cool is when you do all that, is that you, it takes less effort. You can attract people faster, and it takes less effort to convert a prospect into a client. Isn't that, like, when you think about that? And we're doing all these things anyway, so if we just do them, amp them up, it's like, you know, here you go. Radio FM signals, you know, the AM goes farther than the FM. I don't really listen to the radio very much. I have satellite radio now, but, you know, when we think about it, we just need to broadcast our signal bigger so it reaches more people. And these five strategies will help you reach more people and reach them louder, and so that people actually hear you and you can cut through the noise of the competition, cut through the noise in the marketplace. And so this helps prospects know you, like you, trust you. They're preconditioned or pre-sold to buy from you, and that's the faster piece. That's how to get more leads faster and how to convert them into clients easier as well. So I'm going to pause here. Those are the five. If you're on the webcast, and I see there's a bunch of people, please maybe tell us which number, which one stood out for you, which one do you need to kind of tackle and jump into. I'd love that. And I'll also, once again, open up for live questions. If you have any questions, press star 2, because we're going to be moving into that section soon. Press star 2 on your keypad. Love to get on the phone and have a chat with you. If you want to step up, or if you want to stay incognito, you can post your question in the Q&A box. That's also available, too. So let me just pause, drink some water here. And Megan, I'll give you an advance notice. I'm going to be calling on you in a minute to read out any of the questions. And I'm just going to look at the dashboard to see if there's anyone on the phone that wants to ask a question. I see there's a few phone-in people. And if there's no questions, this could be a really short call. Or I might call on people that I know that are here. How's that? Anyways, Megan, what's our first question? Do we have one?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I'm unmuting myself again. Yes, first question. I do have a question here from Jennifer, and she says, how do I make social media marketing worthwhile and not so time-consuming? I feel her pain.
I think we all feel her pain about the time-consuming piece. So the question was how to make social media marketing more time-efficient and...
Yeah, worthwhile is,
worthwhile,
is the word
okay.
She used.
Get the result out of it. Okay, yeah, you know, here's the thing about social media marketing. I have a different point of view, and, you know, of course, algorithms keep changing. So we have our Facebook page, and it's getting harder and harder to get engagement on our Facebook page. So there's that. And then there's many of us have a Facebook group, and that's our kind of what Adam Urbanski, who is one of my coaches, calls his secret garden. You know, our secret garden, that's our kind of our close-knit best community. And then, of course, we have a profile. And I find that the profile these days gets way more engagement and a further reach than my page does. But let's go back to social media marketing. We need to be consistent. You have to consistently show up, you know, regardless of whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter or Pinterest or whatever platform you want to use, you have to be more consistent. So the other thing, too, is you have to be strategic with what you're posting. If you're just posting random stuff that doesn't really hang together, that's not strategic, if you're not taking people on a journey with you, then it's just random stuff. And so that can be a huge waste of time. So I really encourage my clients to, to focus on what is the outcome that they want. And here's the other trick of it, too. I'm sorry, I've got so many ideas popping in my head all at once. But the other consideration, too, is on the flip side, on your page, or you can't just be promoting your business stuff over and over and over again. If you go to a page and it's like, buy this, buy this, buy this, if every post is them promoting something they're selling, that doesn't help engage. So you really want to make sure that your Facebook posting or LinkedIn posting is creating engagement and creating community and is doing the things we talked about. It's polarizing you. It's helping you show your awesomeness. It's helping people to be able to engage with you. So be strategic with it. Like on your post and in your group, you can schedule, which really helps. So So you can use a scheduling tool. There's Facebook has them, or you can use something like we use SmarterQ or RecurPost. Those are some great ways. The other thing, too, is when you have good quality posts that get engagement, repurpose them. You know, so Jennifer, one of the things you can do to make it more effective for you is to repurpose the posts that work. And that's when you use the scheduling tool to recycle them. And I know people, when I mention about repurposing posts or recycling posts, people go, oh, you know, that's old stuff. Can I do that? Well, yeah, of course you can. Because, you know, you might have 5,000 people liking your page, but any post you put out there, there's only a couple, you know, dozen or 100 or 150 or 250 or whatever to see it. Well, that's a very small percentage of the 5,000. And so, you know, we do that all the time. We cycle our posts because we pick they're good marketing messages. It's good content. And if someone sees it a second time, great. They're going to remember me. It's like they're just going to remember it. It's like in sequence with my brand. It's about consistently showing up, and it's about my brand being consistent. So that's one thing you can do to help leverage your time is to repost good quality posts. Now, I'm not talking about the same post 5 days in a row. I'm talking about over time. You have a bunch of them, and you continue to feed the funnel that way. And then the other thing, too, is it set a time on it. Like, stop scrolling timelines just to scroll timelines for yourself. I think that that's the problem, is that we have to distinguish what time we're actually using. We're on social media to promote our services or to build our community or to get more leads or build awareness. Those are all the things we can do. Or are we kind of getting sidetracked by looking at cat videos? I'm being a little sarcastic there. And they are cute, I must admit, but they're really not helping you in business. So it's really about keeping your time consistently. Are you there to do business? Then go do business. And if you want to scroll through the thumb through the timeline, then do that on your own time, but don't get sucked down the funnel. Set a clock if you need to. You can really effectively promote your services or, you know, build your community on social media platforms if you're strategic about it. So I hope that answered the question. Is there a follow-up question to that, or does anyone have any other questions around that or comments about that? You're welcome to post them in the chat. I know we've got some.
There is another one here that came in related to social media, so I thought I'd bring it up now.
Oh, good. Sure.
The question is how to convert interactions coming from social media platforms into sales.
Oh, that's great. So, okay. So that's a really good question. Read it to me again, and I've got ideas.
Okay. So the question is how to convert interactions coming from social media platforms into sales.
Okay, great, great question. So not knowing exactly where the interactions are, whether they're on your page, profile, or group, but it really doesn't matter. When people like your comments or make a comment, if it's on your profile, you can message them back. And this is where you begin to actually do what I call social media marketing, and you begin to leverage your posts. I love this question. Whoever asked it, thank you. So when someone, you know, and I talk about different quality, my brain's going two directions. When I talk about, when I'm teaching people on social media marketing, is that some of the posts are just informational, and some of them are engagement. So I might put a post there that I kind of ask for engagement, and it's about helping people raise their hand, not physically but metaphorically, they're interested. So if someone comments or likes my post, I will often message them about, you know, thanking them. Hey, thanks for commenting on my post. And then I'll ask them a follow-up question. Once again, it depends what the post was, depends what their comment was. I might ask them a follow-up question. And so it's no different like if you met someone at a networking event and they said, oh, I read that article in the newspaper and I really loved it. And then you just have a dialogue with them about it. So you don't instantly flip back and say, oh, do you want to buy from me? But it's more about having a dialogue with them. You might ask them what they liked about it or something. Depends on what the comment it was, of course. You want to take that comment a little bit farther and get a messenger. Take them off the Facebook page, so to speak, and get them on Messenger, LinkedIn Messages or Facebook Messenger, and get them messaging and having a dialogue with people. And when you start having a dialogue with people, once again, you ask them questions that are strategic to prospecting them or qualifying them if they're a prospect for you without making it sound like a sales conversation. you might ask them, for example, I might ask someone, so, you know, what are you excited about in your biz these days? That's something I'd say to someone at a networking event if I went to them. You know, and they might say, oh, I'm excited about doing this. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, and you go back and forth. And if you really feel that they're potentially a prospect, you might invite them to get on the phone and have a chat with you. It might be, hey, I've got some ideas about that. Are you interested? Now, here's the thing with social media marketing or messenger marketing is that you don't want to just blatantly offer. You want to ask. Always ask first. It's like, hey, I've got an idea. Would you be interested? Or, hey, I wrote an article recently about that. Would you be interested in seeing it? You always ask permission, right? If you ask permission for them to if they want to see something or share, if is it okay if you share something with them, most people will say, yeah, okay. And then now that they've asked for it, now you can share it. You can give them the link or you can, you know, here, let's hop on the phone and do a coffee date or whatever, you know, whatever the next step is for you. But if you ask permission, that's the key piece of it. Because they've asked for it. You know, never blatantly offer or send. You offer in the sense of saying, would you like to see, or I've got this idea, or can I share this with you? And then when they say yes, then you can get back to them. And that's how you can kind of take all of those interactions, those comments on Facebook and LinkedIn, and those likes. You know, even if someone's liking your post frequently, send them a message saying, hey, gosh, thanks for liking my post. I really appreciate you being part of my community. What's going on for you these days? And get the conversation going that way. So that on the chat, did that answer the question for whoever asked that question, Megan? That was a good question.
Yeah, they haven't made any other comments, so I'm going to assume that they did.
I don't know who it was, so I hope that helped. And if anyone listening has a comment, I should go back and look at the control panel to see if people on the phone have any questions. Whoops, there I'm going. Hey, Elizabeth, I see you're here. You should press star 2 and come off the phone and ask me a question. I'm going to maybe call you out there. I just did. Anyways, Elizabeth, think about it. All right, next question. Do we have another one?
Yes, we do. The next one is, how do I get people to take me seriously without being pushy?
That's an interesting question. How do I get people to take me seriously without being pushy? Is that it? Okay.
That's the question.
So I think it's interesting when we think that we're pushy. The question that comes up to me, not knowing who this is from or where they're at with it, but the question that comes up for me is that, you know, are you being pushy or are you afraid of being pushy? And what is pushy anyways? I think that being, you know, assertive and asking for what you want and standing for what you want is not pushy. All right. And, you know, often, you know, this kind of falls into a sales question. It's like, I don't want to be seen as the sleazy salesperson. Well, if you are professional, if you ask permission, as I just mentioned in the Facebook messaging thing, if you're selling to people who want to be sold to, if you're selling to people who are interested in what you have and it's an exploration, and if you believe that you can help them, then offering them help, offering them a solution to their problem, which is what sales is, isn't being pushy. So, you know, when we go back to the question at hand, which I can't see, but anyways, when I go back to the question at hand, it's like, how can I do without being pushy? My hunch is that it's probably more about your inner game and your inner dialogue with yourself than necessarily how you're doing it, unless you're, you know, people are telling you, oh, you're so pushy. But generally speaking, you know, unless you're kind of the relentless, you know, grabbing someone by the throat and wrestling them to the ground saying, you got to buy from me, that's pushy. But ultimately, if you're just staying the course, promoting your services and standing in service of other people, that's not pushy. So change your point of view or expand your point of view. Allow to see it differently. And you might be amazed at your ability to shift your sales. Because, you know, if you think of selling, and that's, this actually reminds me of my last CEO Academy. Danielle was a member in it. And we talked a lot about sales. And her big aha was that sales is service. And when you come from a service perspective, you're not being pushy. You're just being helpful. And when we sell from that manner of, hey, I think I can help you, let's explore this. And then when you're truly unattached from the outcome, that is, you don't get sucked into they have to buy, or if they don't buy, it means I'm bad. You know, if you don't kind of get into the attached to the outcome, if you're standing in service and serving people, serve them more and you'll sell more, rather than thinking about I need the sell, I've got to get a dollar in the bank. You know, if you come from that, then yeah, you'll feel pushy. So I hope that gave some perspective to that person. All right. Elizabeth.
Great. I have another one here, Sue.
Cool. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. It's a bit more like a statement, but I'm assuming you can address this. So my target market is hard to get people on the phone these days. They're working from home and cell phone numbers are not shared by their receptionist or office. So I'm assuming then the question is how to reach your target market when they're not available by phone these days.
Okay, so I'm a visual person. Read that one more time so my brain can catch up with it. So the question was?
Okay. I'm sorry, you could probably hear the ambulance going by in the background. Okay, so the question is, it's hard to get my target market on the phone these days. They're working from home and cell phone numbers are not shared by their receptionist or their office.
That is a really tough one. Because I have all sorts of strategies to get past the gatekeeper. Because in my old business, I used to, sell B2B services. And getting past the gatekeeper is an art in itself. But I can see the complexity of people working from home. Obviously, they don't want to start handing up people's cell phones or home phone numbers to get a hold of people. So, I would suggest that you tag into messaging, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn Messenger, and try and connect with people there. And it's really then about having that, here's the thing, short, having that short message to them. Don't dump your briefcase. That's kind of my old languaging, but don't send a messenger that says, hi, I'm Joe, and I can do this and this and this and this and this and this. Like sometimes I get these messengers, like they're like huge emails almost. You don't want to do that. You want to make it short and snappy and ask a question. Ask a question about a problem that they may have. I kind of like maybe something like saying, a lot of people I've been talking to are challenged with this. Is that something that you might be experiencing? If it is, I've got some ideas I'd love to chat with you about. So that's short. That's to the point. People know who you are, why you're messaging them, and what you can offer them. Now, I know it's kind of like shooting in the dark and you're praying that they'll answer and say yes to it, but that's one of the challenges. You can do a series of messengers where you might make a direct pitch and then you might ask them if you can share a piece of content with them that would help. So it's like, hey, people are challenged by blank problem, and that's like the problems that you solve, right? So people are challenged with blank problem, and, I've created this really cool checklist or think of it like a lead magnet type of article, like a checklist or a quizzy or an article or a podcast or recording or whatever. Would you be interested in seeing it? So once again, that curiosity will get people to respond. And, if you have a good title on it, if you have a good benefit-rich, name for it, people will go, yeah, I'm interested, send it to me. And then once you send it, then the follow-up question, of course, is then how do you, you have to follow up with them. Did you have a chance to check it out? Do you have any questions? And go from there. Okay? Hopefully that answered that person's question. If they have a follow-up, go for it. And Elizabeth, I see you're on the phone. I haven't talked to you for eons. So, are you willing to come off and say hello? Elizabeth. You're on mute. I just took you off mute. Are you there?
I'm trying to unmute myself.
I did it for you. There you go.
Some people muting and unmuting. Anyway, hi, Sue.
Hello. Yes. I just like to have other voices on the phone. So do you have any questions I can help you with?
Well, actually, the very last question that you just answered was one of my questions, too.
Ah.
And so I will frantically try to take notes, but I hope that I'll be able to get access to the replay, even briefly. Now I know that you turn them off very quickly.
Yeah, no, this you'll be able to get the replay for.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Because that way I can write it down more. Some of those were pretty good, but that's one of my challenges. I haven't been doing much networking because I was living too far away from any of those places and I have no car. And, of course, now no networking is taking place anywhere. So it's really a matter of approaching people that, you know, cold calling on some level or cold approaching people on or building relationships, I suppose, on social media.
Well, you know, you raise an excellent point, and this is what I call my social media marketing strategy. And if we think about what's the fastest way to get clients is, you know, it's the most direct way, and that is direct outreach. And, you know, we can do networking and we can build referral relationships and we can do writing and we can, you know, all the writing, blogging, that type of stuff. And we can do speaking, you know, whether you speak at your own events or you held events or you are a guest speaker, whether you do podcasts or interviews or whatever. I mean, all of those strategies are great, but the thing is they're not direct. They're not fast. And so direct outreach is the fastest way. And, you know, whether you pick up the phone and phone people, which, of course, you know, this person was mentioning that they don't have the numbers to phone people anymore, so that's difficult. But then...
Actually, there are ways to find those numbers.
Well, that's true. That's true. That is true. Although if it's somebody's personal cell phone, it might be a little bit...
Yeah, no,
they might feel a little uncomfortable. If someone phoned my personal cell phone, I'm like, how'd you get this number? That would be my kind of first dialogue in my head.
Yeah.
So there's that. But usually, actually, you know, beyond that is using social media marketing is really, you know, that's the new cold calling. And it's not like you just send people messages and you say, here's my shit, buy it. Like, it's not that direct. But actually, when we do social marketing messaging, like, you know, and I have a whole 8-page or 10-page manual on this, but I'll just try and do the high notes. We could probably do a whole call just on this. Megan, maybe jot that down and we'll put that on the calendar for one of our future Q&A calls. Is that, you know, I'll go through LinkedIn or go through Facebook, and I will target individuals that fit the profile of, quote, my ideal target client. And I'll reach out to them and ask them to be my friend. So I'll either send a friend request or a connection request with LinkedIn. I'll just use the Facebook language so I don't have to flip back and forth. Everyone knows I'm talking about any social media platform. So I'll send a message out to them saying, hey, you know, I see we've got lots of people in common. Thought we should connect, and I'll send them a friend request. And so when they respond to it, the next message I'll go, hey, thanks for accepting my friend request. And then I'll ask them a question that once again begins the dialogue. I might say, what's going on in your business? Or, hey, how are you handling things with this COVID stuff, if you feel like choosing to get into that? And so some will respond, some won't, but most will respond. I might say something like, you know, what are you most excited about in your business these days? Or what's new in your business? Or what are you working on in your business? Something like that. And then when they respond, then it starts a dialogue. And then based on what they responded, I'll comment on that. And it gets us going. And then at one point, I might invite them to have a conversation with me. Or I might invite them to accept an article or accept a link to a, you know, some piece of content. But it's always asking them permission. It's like, hey, you don't just pitch them. You might just say, hey, I've got something that I think might help you. Would you be interested in hearing more about it? And they respond yes. And then I might respond and say, you know, it might be easier if we just hop on the phone. It'd be more fun. Do you have some time next week? And then either give them a link to your calendar or, you know, suggest a couple times. And then, you know, ideally the best thing to do is be able to get them off the messenger and onto the phone with you. But, you know, it's a series and it's a dialogue. And it isn't like just sending that one message out that pitches them. So I hope that helped you, Elizabeth.
It does, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Do you have any other questions? Well, I have you here.
I have more things to go back to the replay and write down.
Good stuff. Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got some good ideas. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for accepting me taking off the mute button, and I'm glad that you're here today. Good to hear from you. All right, I'm going to go back on mute, and Do we have any more questions? I think I saw one pop in, but I didn't read it. Megan?
Yeah, there is another one. It is, how do you get over resistance to doing cold calling?
Oh, my gosh. You know, the little secret that most people, I guess if you've heard me talk a lot, you might probably have heard me say this at one point or another. I, in the old days, would rather cold call than go to a networking event. So I grew my $5 million business by cold calling. And it, you know, so when people talk about cold calling reluctance, I'm like going, oh, yeah, been there, done that, know that, trained that. You know, I built a sales team. And you know, the bottom line is how to get past that reluctance is to recognize that it's a numbers game. People, it's a numbers game. With any of your marketing, it's a numbers game. And once again, it's your come from. I've already kind of mentioned this, but it's like if you're coming and standing in service, if you believe that what you're offering, your product or services are valuable, you're just kind of going out there and looking for the date. You know, it's like a relationship. You know, we're out there kind of finding the next boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, and you're looking for someone to connect with. You're looking for an opportunity to have a conversation to see if and how it might help them. You know, not everyone will buy from you, nor should everyone buy from you. And that was the hard thing I had to get past was, you know, I thought I should be able to sell everyone. It's like, oh, my God, talk about getting beat up negatively because you can't sell everyone, and nor do you want to, and nor should you. It's not realistic. It's not possible. So when you let go of that attachment, that expectation, and you're just trying to stand in service and you realize it's a numbers game, that helps diminish the reluctance. And, you know, bottom line is it's a suck-it-up princess moment. You just have to go out there and do it. And if you do it often enough, you get good enough. That's what I used to tell my sales team is, you know, just it's a numbers game. Just go do it. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the better you get at it, the better results you get. And when you start getting results, it makes it more fun. And that makes it more exciting. And I have all sorts of little tips and tricks that I used to do. And actually, I just taught this one to a client recently is, you know, if you have, let's say you have a personal goal of every day that you're going to outreach to 10 people. I'll just use 10 as a number. It could be 100, could be 50, could be 17. Doesn't matter. But you have an outreach to so many, a number of people. Is what's really kind of fun to do is to have two bowls on your desk, and whether you use pennies or rocks or marbles or whatever you want, some small buttons, it could be anything. And, you know, let's say you want to make 10 calls. You have two bowls. I kind of like making them different colors, but they could be two little white bowls, clear bowls, whatever. You put your 10 buttons or 10 pennies in it. And every time you make a call, you take one penny out of the bowl and you move it into the called bowl. So you have a two, you know, you have your, you know, your starting point, and then every time you make a call, you move your pennies over or your, you know, or if you want pennies, because it's kind of monetary, maybe they're loonies if you're Canadian or, you know, quarters or whatever, but you move them over and so you kind of count them down. And all day long, they're sitting on your desk. It does create some task tension because you're looking at these two bowls and you know that you have to get all the marbles from one bowl into the next before the day's over. And that's one way to just kind of suck it up and make it a to-do task. Just make it something that you're going to do is you just kind of go over and you get those pennies going. And it can really drive you. One of my client who just did this, they loved it because, you know, he said he couldn't get over it because, like, all day long was I'm looking at those bowls on my desk. And I, you know, I just knew I had to do them. And when, you know, as he moved them over, and he used pennies, and as he moved them over, he felt like he was one step closer to making the money. You know, and that's really what it is. It's a numbers game. Find your way to set it up. You know, you can do all sorts of other strategies like, you know, what's the thing? Lick the toad first or lick the frog or kiss the frog or something with the frog. You want to do it first. Do the worst first. You know, set a time frame that you're going to do it every morning. Now, maybe it's not 10 calls. Maybe you want to just phone for 20 minutes. And so you set your timer and, you know, and consistently just make those calls. And then reward yourself, you know, whether the reward is seeing the bowl empty or whether the reward is eating a chocolate bar or going and sitting in the sun for 10 minutes or meditating or whatever, you know, reward yourself when you accomplish it. You know, just really, whether and don't reward yourself for the outcome, reward yourself for the effort. That's a key piece, too, because if you reward yourself for the outcome, if the outcome doesn't come, then you feel like failure. But just recognize that making the cold call was the success, right? And so reward yourself for the activity. Be activity-focused rather than results-focused if you want to kind of get over your reluctance to cold calling, because then you're focusing on the activity, not the result. And by the way, when you get a positive result, you're still going to feel good. And so that's another thing you can do, is really to set the timer, do it consistently, reward yourself. And then the last thing, too, is kind of the inner game. You know, whether you want to journal on it or have some affirmations that you state, or whether you want to just kind of meditate before you get on the call, maybe do a little visualization in your mind that you see people smiling, you see them happy, you see yourself happy, put yourself that Zen state of success. So whatever your preferences are, any one of those things will help you kind of get in the right groove of it. But it's a matter of just sucking it up, princess, and getting it done. And that's, you know, it really is. It's personal, what's the word I'm looking for? I lost it. Dedication. Personal dedication. It's really about, you know, you being committed to yourself and doing the work. So whoever asked that question, I hope that helped. And, you know, post in the comments, guys, and love to be able to see how this information is landing for you, what's working, and if you're getting some ahas. And I'll just kind of maybe pause here. If you're on the web call, is post any ahas you have in the chat. That would be kind of cool to see them. And because I know that we've got a bunch of people on the phone. Everyone's incognito today. Megan, are there any other questions?
I'm just waiting to see if there's any other responses coming in, but that was the last question I have right this moment.
That was the last question. Okay. Well, then let me just hang on, go and make sure that nobody's raised their hand. Star 2, if you're on the phone, there's a bunch of people. I don't know who you are. I just see the phone numbers, but got someone calling from California. And okay. So no star twos. All right, so let's begin to do a quick recap and wrap up. So once again, if you want to position yourself to get more leads more easily, remember it this way. Be more authentic, more awesome, be polarizing, be consistent in your brand and consistently in your efforts in showing up and getting others to talk about you. Pick one of those five that you're going to focus on this week and see how that rolls out for you. That's my challenge for you. Pick one of those five to see how it rolls out for you. That would be the next cool thing to do. And so if you have a question that's come up, whether you're watching this after the fact, if you have any questions, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to me through social media channels or, of course, through my email. Most of you probably have my email if you came through that venue. Please reach out to me and ask your questions. I'd love to hop on the phone and have a conversation with you. I do have some time on my calendar that's coming up this next week where we could have a brief, you know, 20 or 30-minute conversation about your challenges in your business and maybe give you some ideas on how you could move forward faster that would be personalized specifically to you. So if you want that, reach out, let me know, we'll hop on the phone. I'm Sue Clement, your business growth acceleration expert, helping you think and grow like a seven-figure CEO. I'm so excited and delighted that you listened in today. Thank you for joining us. And watch out, because I think we're going to start doing this every week. This is a lot of fun. So watch out for my next call. I don't know what day it'll be next week, probably Thursday, I think. And we'll be talking about some growth levers. I think that's the next topic I have on my list. So anyways, thanks very much for watching today, or I shouldn't say watching. You didn't see anything. I didn't have to do my hair, and neither did you. and you don't have to dress up either. Anyway, so thanks for joining us today. It's been great to spend my time with you today, and I hope that you're going away with some nuggets that are going to help you accelerate your success. Pick one, take action. You know, action is key. If you don't implement what you've heard, then you kind of wasted your time. So get into implementation mode, and that is where you will find success. All right, everyone, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll talk with you again soon. See you around. Bye-bye now.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.